Shamrani Didi, May
30th, 2008,
Jivamitam Vinam
iti vigyaye rani tam nayamam charanantihi. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Diksha Gurudev, Nitya Lila Pravishna Om Vishnupad, Astotra Satashi Srimanchila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad, Astotra Satashi Srimanchila Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. Where's the camera?
It's on.
So today we're going to try to discuss the first few verses of Sri Shikshastakam, because I understand that you're all doing a course under Achyuta Krishna Prabhu's good tutelage and skillful tip. You're all doing a course on Sri Shikshastakam. So, we'll be discussing the first few verses, that is, the commentaries, the verses and the commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is called Sri Sanmodan Bhashya. And then we'll be discussing the commentary of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is called Vritti. And then we'll be discussing Srila Gurudev's commentary, which is just called Translation and Additional Commentary. Srila Gurudev's commentaries to the previous acharyas are always either bhavanubhavs, if it's just a translation, because he's putting in his own bhavs, mixed with the bhavs of the acharyas, plus adding his own words of realization. So we'll start with text number one. And Srila Gurudev explains that we should recite these verses of Shikshastakam daily for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, the combined form of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the source of innumerable incarnations and innumerable universes. And at the same time, although all of His disciples wrote so many books, His principal disciples wrote so many books, especially the six Goswamis and their followers, like Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and our more recent acharyas. He himself only wrote 8 verses, and these are the 8 verses. Although he only wrote 8 verses, these verses explain all the scriptures. The Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Vedic literatures, Mahabharata, all the Goswami's literatures, everything is here in the holy names, commentary by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first, Srila Gurudev begins with some prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to understand what he came to give, and therefore what is the message that is within his Shikshastakam. And these two prayers are Anarpitatarim Charat Karunayavatirnam Kalo Samarpaitam Unat Ojvarasam Svabhakti Sriyam Hari Purita Sandara Jyutikadam Vasandi Pita Sadhardaya Kandare Spurutu Vasachinandana. May Sri Sachinandan Gohari, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, having adopted the bodily luster of Srimati Radhika, ever manifest himself in your heart. He has descended in the sage of Kali out of his causeless mercy to bestow upon the world that which had not been given for a very long time. How long a time? Since the previous day of Lord Brahma, which was the last time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, many, many trillions and trillions of years before. And what was that that he came to give? The most confidential wealth of devotion to him, the highest and most radiant mellow of amorous love as a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. So this is what is within the Sri Shikshastakam, this gift. Then the second verse in glorification of him. Radha Krishna Pranaya Prakriti Ladini Shakti Asmat Ekatmanavapi Puripura Deha Vedam Katoto Chaitanya Kyam Prakatamaduna Tatayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Jyoti Subalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Although Radha Krishna are one in identity, they perpetually exist in two forms because of the eternality of the principle of the exchange of amorous love. This is brought about by the pleasure aspect, or Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, of the internal potency, which exhibits itself in the form of the transformation of their love. At this time, these two personalities have manifested as one person in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, who is none other than the very same Sri Krishna, with the sentiment and the bodily splendor of Srimati Radhika. So this is also his gift. He's giving that service to that amorous love of Radha and Krishna, and also the eternal service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his abode, and the opportunity to travel with him in his roadshow around all the universes, to travel with Radha and Krishna in their roadshow, and to be with all three of them, if there are three. Actually, there are two, and actually there are one. In their abode of Goloka Vrindavan, and simultaneously Swetadri, that is dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sankirtan, and being absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna within, and simultaneously serving in those pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That is the gift offered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sri Shikshastakam. That is the goal of his giving it.
Where was that last verse from?
The last verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's one of the, there's something called Mangalacharana. It's about six or so verses that begin the Adi Lila. It's Adi Lila 1-5. And these verses are later on explained very, very elaborately. So it's the auspicious invocation, the identity of Mahaprabhu, and also, for example, these two verses are explained in chapter 4 of Adi Lila in a very expanded way, as is Radha, Shri Radhaya Mahima, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who appeared for three reasons. So all these verses are described very elaborately later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So verse number one. Chaito darpana marjanam bhagamahadavavinevapanam shayakairavachandrakavataranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandamudivardhanam Patipadam Purnamita Swadhanam Sarvatmasnapanam Param Vijayate Krishna Sankirtanam. That's Prabhupada's tune. He sings it very lovely. So the translation, and first we'll look over the commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy name of Krishna alone, which cleanses the mirror of the heart and completely extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Sri Krishna Sankirtan diffuses the soothing moon rays of spiritual ecstasy, or bhava, and causes the living entity's white lotus of good fortune to bloom, because good fortune begins to actually fully bloom at the stage of bhava bhakti. The holy name is the life and soul of transcendental knowledge, which is here compared to a wife, Vidya Badu. Vidya, wife. Vidya, knowledge. Badu, wife. Vidya Badu Jivanam. It continually expands the ocean of transcendental bliss, enabling one to taste complete nectar at every step. The holy name of Sri Krishna thoroughly cleanses and cools the self, one's nature, and one's determination, as well as the body, both internally and externally. Srila Gurudev said that his Guru Maharaj was so absorbed in bhajan, chanting the holy names, that he would only bathe once a month sometimes. And during that time, he would just take the loda and throw it over his shoulder. But he was never dirty, because he was always bathed externally as well as internally by the holy names. So in the beginning, Srila Gurudev is giving the Mangalacharana before he begins translating into Hindi the texts of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And this English version is a translation of his Hindi translation and commentary of their works. So Gurudev said, in spite of being very low and insignificant and thoroughly incompetent, I'm engaged in translating this San Mohan Bhasya. Bhasya means commentary. And Modan means what? What does Modan mean? San means all. And Modan means what? Pleasure? We'll have to check. By the mercy of my most revered spiritual master, Nityalila Pravishta Om, Vishnupad Astodara Siddhasri Srimad Srila Bhakti Priyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the eternal associate of Sri Gaurasundar and writer of the San Modan Bhasya, and the original author of Sri Shikshastaka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation who delivers the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, and who is the very self-same personality known as Sri Nanda Nandan. So Gurudev is saying, holding his heart, his feet, to my heart, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna, holding his feet, which grant all desires, to my heart, I'm engaged in this work to fill their inner heart's longing. And their inner heart's longing is that all the souls of Kali Yuga should become Krishna conscious. So now the Sri Samodhan Bhasya. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is asking, how can there be any benefit for all the living entities who are oblivious to the Lord, what way can they get out? The only way out for them is by engaging in bhakti. But this kind of bhakti is very rare. This kind of bhakti that completely delivers the soul. And this kind of bhakti is obtainable by a particular kind of faith called paramarthik shraddha. There's laukik shraddha or materialistic shraddha. I have some faith in Guru, but really most of my faith is in my material relations. And that is also called komal shraddha, a very soft, pliable, bendable faith in bhakti or devotion. Bendable and pliable means when an obstacle comes along or when an argument against bhakti comes along, my faith bends and gets lost. So there's two kinds of this paramarthika shraddha, but both with very long Sanskrit names. But fortunately, there's explanations. There's the faith that brings about engagement on the path of bhakti that's inspired by the governing principles of Shastra. If you don't do this, you'll go to hell. You should do this because it's your duty. You should do this because don't you know the verse that if you feed the stomach, all the limbs of the body become nourished? And if you water the root of the tree, don't you know that all the leaves and branches and twigs and flowers become watered? So you're part and parcel of Krishna. If you serve him, then you'll benefit and everybody else will benefit. So it's your duty. And if you don't do it, you'll go to hell. This is devotional activities inspired by the governing regulations of the scriptures. And that is called Shastra Art Avadharanamayi Shraddha. Shastra Art, the meaning of the scripture. But then there's another kind of paramarthik or transcendental shraddha, which is called Bhagavat Lila Madhurya Lobamayi Shraddha. That means there's sweet pastimes of Krishna. Bhagavat Lila, the sweet pastimes of Bhagavan or Krishna. Lobamayi, having greed. Having heard those pastimes, one becomes full of greed to enter into those pastimes in a particular service mode. And that comes from extreme good fortune by associating with pure devotees and hearing about the pastimes of the Lord.
Wait, both of those kinds of shraddhas are transcendental?
Yeah, they're transcendental as opposed to komo lokik shraddha. So even if one of these two kinds arises, then whichever one has arisen, it can only develop into the later stages of bhakti if one engages in hearing Harikatha from the lips of the pure devotee and chanting in the association of the pure devotee. So how to engage in such chanting? Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura quotes Kapila Deva, Sitam Prasangam Mamavirya Sambhido Bhavanti Hritakarna Rasayana Kata Tajjo Shana Jasva Pavargavart Mati Shadara Deva Bhakti Anukramishti. That I want you to hear about my valiant activities from the lips of the pure devotee. And if one continually does so, then he becomes delivered from pavarga, pavabhagama, working very hard, fearing, just like a horse works so hard that it foams at the mouth, and then comes death, ma, mrityu. So one becomes delivered that from a pavarga, from pavarga, and proceeds to upavarga, proceeds straight on the path of liberation, and develops from the stages of sadhan bhakti to bhava bhakti to prema bhakti, from the beginning, from shraddha to sadhu sangha, to anartha nivritti, becoming free from anarthas, to developing taste, steadiness, attachment, transcendental ecstasy, and then love. Now he's going to discuss the four features of the Absolute Truth. He says the Lord has a special potency. First of all, since this is about the Holy Name, why is he discussing the nature of the Absolute? Because without understanding the nature of the Absolute, by hearing that the Holy Name is different, non-different from that Absolute Truth, it doesn't mean anything. Or that one should chant the Holy Name of the Absolute Truth, or God, Krishna. It doesn't mean anything unless one understands his greatness. So the greatness of the name is appreciated by understanding the greatness of Nami, the possessor of the name. So name has the same quality, is the same person. So there's a certain kind of potency that the Lord has called Achintya Swarup Shakti, or inconceivable internal potency. Inconceivable, all accommodating internal potency. By the influence of this potency, the Lord exists in four features. One is his original form, his swarup, that is Krishna and Vrindavan. Two, his tad rupa vaibhav, that means his Narayan expansions, his unlimited incarnation expansions, all their abodes, and all of their pastimes are all the second feature of the Lord, called his Tadrupa Vaibhav, which he exists in this feature by the influence of his all-accommodating, inconceivable spiritual energy. And then there's the Jiva, the living entity. When Krishna is present only with his Tattvastha Shakti, or marginal energy, the Jiva manifests, living entity is manifest. And the fourth is called Pradhan, or the unmanifest material nature, which turns into all the innumerable universes. This is compared to the sun. The sun globe is Krishna's original form. Then the sun disk is his, compared to the manifestations of his incarnations, their abodes and pastimes. Number three, the jiva is compared with the particles of sunlight. And of course, all the jivas are infinitesimal, like particles of the sunlight of Krishna. And fourth, the material nature is compared with the reflected sunlight, the reflection of the sun and the darkness. Because we see that sometimes when the sunlight is reflected and refracted, it makes like a rainbow or a phantasmagoric effect of colors. And did you ever go to a mall and you see all this phantasmagoria of colors and lights and magic shows? That's the material world. So the fourth is the material nature. Phantasmagoric show. And then he discusses the prominence of the personal form of the Lord as opposed to the impersonal, and the meanings of various Vedic aphorisms like Sarvam Kovidam Brahma, this entire creation is the form of the Absolute Truth, at which the impersonal is taken in an impersonal way, but which has personalist meaning too, meaning that everything is manifested from him, but he doesn't lose his identity. 1 plus 1 equals 1, 1 minus 1 equals 1. The sun is always emanating rays of heat and light, but it doesn't get any smaller. So he doesn't lose his personal feature by manifesting the impersonal feature, by manifesting the jivas, by manifesting the material world. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses the three manifestations of this Achintya Swarup Shakti, also known as Parashakti, or the superior spiritual energy. And this superior spiritual energy has three features. One feature is called the internal energy, or Antaranga Shakti, which manifests the entire spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Vrindavan, Dwarka, and everything in it. And then is the Tattvastha Shakti, is also a manifestation of Parashakti, and the Jivas, who are manifested from the Tattvastha Shakti, are not directly manifestations of the Swarup Shakti or Parashakti. Incarnations of Krishna like Nrisimha, Varaha, Ram, the Swamsa incarnations of the Lord, they're manifestations of the Swarup Shakti, and they come from that spiritual realm. But the Jiva is a manifestation of the Tattvastha Shakti, although the Tattvastha Shakti is a manifestation of the Parashakti. And then there's the wonderful Bahiranga Shakti, which we all know and love well, the energy of delusion, or the energy of illusion. I think that something is, but it isn't. I think I'm this, but I'm not. I think they're this, but they're not. So then he develops his discussion of the marginal potency, what it is, what the external potency is, calling it this fascinating material world. It's a shadow of the spiritual world. The shadow doesn't have any substance. And then he explains how we are, and this material world is, achintya beta bhed tattva, where a truth, we and the material energy are a truth simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. We're one in quality with the Lord, where his infinitesimal parts and parcels, by nature, the same as him, eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. However, due to an absence of knowledge of him, due to being covered over by Maya and absorbed in that, preoccupied, the Lord is preoccupied with the material energy, there lies the difference. He's never preoccupied in that way.
Does the Bahiranga Shakti come from the Parashakti, or just the Tattvastha?
The Bahiranga and the Antaranga and the Tattvastha all come from Parashakti. But that's the function of it, is that it's the energy of the delusion, and it's also the shadow of that spiritual energy.
What's the Parashakti?
Parashakti is the superior potency, or that achintya sarup shakti, that inconceivable, all-accommodating spiritual shakti, also called chit shakti, spiritual world, spiritual energy, which produces actually it goes in two ways. One, it goes in this way, producing the three, manifesting the three energies, internal, marginal, and material. And then it goes in that way, manifesting within the spiritual realm, the eternity, knowledge, and bliss aspects, or Sambit, Sandini, and Hladini aspect of the internal potency. So it's quite, if we're talking about God, it has to get kind of way out, way up there, inconceivable, and multidimensional, to say the least. So because the jiva is manifested by the marginal potency, its nature is also marginal. That means it can look towards Krishna or it can look towards Maya. If it looked towards Krishna from the Tattvastha, then Yogamaya immediately makes arrangements for them to go to Goloka. And if it looks this way, then Maya immediately makes arrangements to throw that jiva into the material world and cover him with various kinds of false identifications. So how to get out? He can, the process of conquering over this Maya, because he's crushed again and again by the miseries of material existence. Isn't it true? As Prabhupada said, you can take it from the Vedas or you can take it from common affairs. So how to get out? By becoming exasperated. Oh God. Like you were saying before, material life is useless. Achyut Krishna Guru. Oh God, material life is useless. So by becoming exasperated with the material miseries, one may attain the service. Krishna will lead that person to the service of saintly persons by good fortune. And at that time, when he's connected with such a bona fide spiritual master, his faith is awakened and he's given the seed of pure bhakti, or the tendency to serve Krishna, the tendency to face towards Krishna in service, because up till that point he was bahirmukh, or his face was turned away from Krishna, being engrossed in the energy of illusion. So then, he awakens his devotion towards Krishna, and that becomes his goal. Or he may, if he's been practiced for many lives, he may quickly attain greed for serving in the pastimes of the Lord, same way, by associating with that pure devotee. And then he gets eligibility for the bhakti, which is predominated by the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. Bhakti means the combination of Ladini, the bliss potency, and Samvit, the knowledge potency of the Lord, but predominated by Ladini. Krishna predominated by Radha. That service is the desired goal of all those in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses the various, the verse, breaks down the verse. Cheto darbanam arjunam, what does that mean? And Baba Mahadevar Vindivarpanam, what does that mean? So Cheto darbanam arjunam. The chanting cleanses the heart, the dust on the heart. The dust of what? The dust of material energy. From the beginning of time, I've been going from body to body, accumulating various identifications.
Ruff, ruff.
I'm a dog. Meow, meow. I'm a cat. Tweet, tweet. I'm a pointy. So one after another. I'm a dinosaur. I'm a demigod. So one after another, just like in the olden days, before digital cameras, there used to be manual cameras when I was your age. And like if you click on a button and you take your picture, but then you forget to click and you just keep taking the pictures, you think, wow, we're going to have all these pictures for posterity. And then you go to the film shop, and then when they give it back, it's like one black thing because it was one on top of another. You can't distinguish one from the other. So we have one impression over the other, over the other, over the other, and it becomes like a thick layer of dust over the mirror of the mind. So the first installment of chanting is that it cleanses the heart, which is full of dust. And at that time, the living entity, when the dust is removed, then he can see five things. What are those five things? The five following truths. One is Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Two, the jivas, the living entities. Not that we're seeing the jivas now, we're just seeing dead matter. And we're calling it, I know that jiva, I know that jiva, but we really aren't seeing the person at all. Prakriti, the material nature. We can distinguish, to separate the jiva from the material nature. We can see how the material nature is running, working. And kala, or time. And karma, or fruit of activities. These are five eternal truths. And one can see this when his bhakti progresses and his pure consciousness manifests.
How about the relationships between
them? Huh?
Doesn't he see also the relationships between these?
Well, when you see Ishvara and you see the jiva, then you see what they're doing. And you see their relationship. or a jiva's forgetfulness of the relationship. But actually, a pure devotee, he can really see the seed of the relationship of every jiva, just like an expert gardener can look at the seed of any tree or plant and tell you what plant or tree it is, and then he nurtures that with sun and water in various ways, and then it becomes that. So similarly, the pure devotee can see what relationship every jiva has with Krishna. And he can also see those associates of the Lord who are already aware of their relationship. He also sees those pastimes. When the mirror of the heart is completely cleansed and purified, the vision of one's own constitutional form, his swarup, and consequently the constitutional his occupation, his swadharma, what he's doing with Krishna, also becomes revealed. Then the next line, so it's Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Baba Mahadavagni. Baba means not Bhav, but Baba. Those of you who are Hindi speaking know that Baba means material existence, cycle of repeated birth and death, which is just like a Mahadava Agni, a great forest fire. And Nirvapanam, that great forest fire is extinguished. Then Shreya Koidava Chandra Kavataranam. Shreya means, Prabhupada explained it very interestingly, there's Shreya and Praya. Shreya means ultimate good, and Praya means temporary, immediate good, which turns out to be not good. Like suppose a baby is crawling, a little teeny baby of a few months old, and he sees a safety pin, and he thinks, wow, how glittery, I should eat that. So then he takes a mouthful of the safety pin, and it cuts him, his inside of his mouth, and he starts bleeding. So that was Prayas. And Shreyas means that an adult is walking by and sees the same safety pin, and knows, no, that is not for my eating. Wow, that jalebi, that's for my eating. And so he enjoys a long time. So now this Shreya Koidava Chandra, Chandrika Vitarana means distributing. It distributes the moon, the rays of the full moon of Bhav. And then the lotus flower of the heart blossoms. The white lotus flower of the heart blossoms. And one experiences all the various, his heart is melted with the various tastes of bhakti, different ecstasies begin to manifest in his heart. So bhakti manifests from bhakti. The sadhan bhakti comes from the bhakti in the heart of the pure devotee, and then bhava bhakti comes from that sadhan bhakti. It doesn't really come from sadhan bhakti, it's already situated in potency in the heart, and it's manifested by the mercy of the pure devotee and the performance of sadhana. And then comes prema bhakti. Now what is bhakti? Or pure devotion, it is a function of the Lord's internal energy, so it has nothing to do with the material world. It's a function of the Swarup Shakti, of the internal potency of the Lord. And when one engages in bhakti, he becomes situated on a Shuddha-sattva platform. Or pure goodness beyond the modes of nature. And that is called Rati or Bhav. And then when he attains praying, then he really becomes situated in the Lord's pastimes. And at that time he connects with Vishuddha Sattva. That is, he enters into the pastimes predominated by Radhika, and then he attains equality, qualitative equality with those personalities under whose guidance he is. And then Anandam Mudibartanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Now it's interesting, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it's very odd or interesting that when the living entity becomes free from Maya, he realizes his infinitesimal nature, how tiny he is, you know, 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. So does that mean that his pleasure also becomes infinitesimal? No. At that time, oddly enough, sounding, at that time his pleasure becomes unlimited. Anandamudi, the ocean. If the ocean on the east coast were to increase, what would happen? Big problems, especially in New York. Those little 5 boroughs would be flooded. But there's an ocean of love and an ocean of happiness in the heart, and when one connects with that, he becomes one at heart with his guru and the associates of the Lord. Then that ocean of happiness increases unlimitedly, even though he's insignificant. By Sri Krishna Sankirtan, performed in the liberated condition, when the living entity obtains his spiritual form, the pleasure potency unlimitedly expands in his heart. By virtue of that Ladini Shakti, he becomes one in heart with the Ladini Shakti, right? When he becomes a maidservant of Radha. So that Ladini Shakti is the bliss potency, so he gets overwhelmed by unlimited bliss. Then Pratipradam Purna Amrita Swaranam. Pratipradam means at every step that happiness and service mood is increasing. Purna Amrita, that nectar is increasing. One tastes complete nectar ever increasingly at every step, which we can't imagine. For us, it's like a second of a drop of happiness, and then we get overwhelmed by a few hours of misery, then it looks like there's a drop of happiness coming, and it comes an hour of another kind of misery. And then Sarvatma Snapanam. Sarva Atma, his Atma, that is his soul, his body, his mind, his intelligence, everything gets bathed by that pure chanting of the holy name. Snapanam means bathed in that condition of praying. So why is all this being discussed? To give us an interest in being there. Because it sounds a lot better than where I am now. So remembering that, I'll want to chant Hare Krishna purely. So then in Gurudev's commentary, he says that the holy name is like a new bud of a lotus flower. By constantly chanting, the holy name first makes its appearance within the heart of the sadhaka. And after the holy name appears, then the form appears, and then the qualities and pastimes and associates, such as the gopis and gopis, all manifest in their hearts, so everything starts from Nam. And as soon as one chants constantly, and then as soon as it's pure, then everything else manifests. Or to the proportion it's pure, everything else manifests. And if nothing is manifesting, that shows how pure it is. Or isn't. And then Gurudev talks about himself, his own commentary about the white lotus flower or lily of Bhava Bhakti. He says, as the moon, by its nectarian, soothing and cooling rays, causes the white lotus to bloom, so the holy name brings to blossom the white lotus of Bhava Bhakti, where the heart melts with all kinds of ecstatic symptoms. So therefore, may there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name. It's all victorious because it does all that. So what is Param Vijayate means all glories to, or all victory, or glories to the all victorious chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So what does Sankirtan mean? Sarvato Bhavena Kirtan. That means when all the anarthas, when one chants in such a way that all the anarthas are destroyed, and Bhava Bhakti manifests in the heart, that's the beginning of real Sankirtan. Sarvato Bhavena Kirtan. No anarthas. Anartha means so many anarthas. There's the anarthas of offenses, and there's the anartha of different kinds of material desires, anartha of illusion regarding the goal and the process to attain it, anarthas of weak heart, or profit, adoration, distinction, envy, so many things. So then he discusses Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, and the speciality to me of that commentary is that he's the one who gave the this meaning of Sankirtan. Sarvato Bhavena Kirtan. So we haven't discussed yet Vidyavadu Jivanam, how this transcendental knowledge is compared to a wife and why. So let's read about that. The holy name is the life of all transcendental knowledge, which is herein compared to a wife. This is supported in the Hari Bhakta Vilas. O best of kings, if you desire to obtain the topmost knowledge by which the supreme goal is obtained, then with the greatest respect and devotion, chant the holy name. So then, all of our commentators, Gurudev Prabhupada, his Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, refer to Srila Sanatan Goswami's commentary on this particular verse that we just read. It's called his Digdarshini commentary. Now, where did it say that it's compared to the wife? Maybe that's back in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. There are two kinds of, but it's not here. It says there's two kinds of knowledge. One is material knowledge. One is transcendental knowledge. Indirectly, Sri Krishna Sankirtan is the life of material knowledge, but directly and primarily, it's the life of transcendental knowledge. By its influence of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, the living entity is liberated from false ego, arising from mundane knowledge, and he obtains his relationship with Krishna. But I can't find a place. Maybe tomorrow we can find that discussion of Vidyavadu Jivanam. Very interesting about the wife. Still don't see it here, but tomorrow we'll take time and find it. So, can you check on page 15? There might be a description here.
Which book?
Verse 1, number 4, if you have a Dujivanam.
Yeah.
You can look for the wife explanation.
There are two more.
And in the meantime, let's see what time it is. It's already already 7 o'clock. Should we make this 8 classes instead?
Okay, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it in Vinay Prabhu's house also. If he appears.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
It's always an interesting subject because that's the main thing we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. In Houston also, you can continue.
Houston. Are there any questions or comments?
You can use this.
Shri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai.
Thank you, baby.
So,
any questions?
Well, I'm still a little confused why in the beginning of the commentary I went so much into all those layers of, you know, faith and the Tasta Shakti and Maya and shit and stuff. What did it have to do with the verse exactly?
Well, first we have to understand where we are, and we have to know where we're going to go, and we need to know how to get there. And then the chanting is the means to get there, and it's also the end. But there has to be some, all of it is revealed in the holy name, when we chant the holy name purely. But to help us chant purely, we need the strength of knowledge. If I don't know who I am, what's my relationship with God, that I'm stuck in the material world, and how to get out, and I don't understand that scientifically, of what this world is, who I am, what is both of our relationships with Krishna, and what is the greatness of Krishna, and how he has different kinds of energies, and one energy does one thing, even it's so powerful that even influences him to be existing in his features. And the other one is just, you know, rolling me around through the different species of life. And I can't, without that knowledge, I can't have the conviction, if I think this world is a reality and it's all in all, to go on. And I'd rather chant something else like, take me to a movie.
Okay.
Any other? Anything?
No.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gurudev Ki
Jai.
Param Gurudev Ki Jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki
Jai,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki
Jai,
Sri Shikshastakam Ki Jai, Gopinanda.
Shabbat
shalom.
Yeah.